read from a series of updates that I sent to kind of friends and family starting about 3 years ago. So imagine it was probably January 3 years ago. So this was the first update. Dear all, before I fill you in on what's next, here's a very quick update on the story so far. November 2014, not feeling well. December, into hospital where they drained 5 litres from my right lung. The good news, felt a lot lighter. The bad news, they also did a biopsy and discovered I had cancer. January, told it was called mesothelioma, asbestos related, probably from old theatres. The good news, while the doctor was telling me, Kit, my son, googled the best and only mesothelioma joke in the world. Question, how do you treat a patient with mesothelioma? Answer, as best off you can. The bad news, they haven't found a cure for it yet, and I'm given 9 to 18 months. February till now, 4 lots of chemo. The good news, poison 4, tumour 0. The bad news, exhaustion, vomit, loss of stone in a week, blah, 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 blah. May, prayer and poison are a wonderful combo. The tumour shrunk by over 30%. My wonderful French surgeon will operate on May the 15th to cut, hack, chainsaw, chisel away as much as possible. And I continue to feel a deep sense of God's peace and huge gratitude for the love and concern I've experienced from all of you. Thank you very much. On May the 15th, after the operation, I wrote this. Dear all, last Friday at 8:29 in the morning, I was lying on a hospital trolley, clothed only in disposable pants and a paper dressing gown. I was waiting. Next door was a surgeon, his scalpels, his team, and the prospect of a 6-hour operation to cut out my tumour. And the truth is, I don't think I've ever felt so alone, so vulnerable, and so out of control. Last Friday at 8:29, I had to face my death, or at least the prospect of it, and it scared me a lot. But, and it's a very big but, at exactly the same time I knew a peace, because, and if you don't have a faith, this may be hard to understand, God loves me deep in the bowels of my being, beyond the power of words to explain. Since I was 16, I've known God as my Father, friend, Savior. He's been with me in the ups, with me in the downs, and every moment in between. He walked into the operating theatre with me, and he'll walk into eternity with me, whenever that day may come. The good news, of course, is that Friday wasn't my time. 4 p.m. I was back in the ICU with a happy surgeon, 10 tubes sticking out of me, and a wonderful nursing team. As Job put it in the Bible, thousands of years ago, you have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. Yip de do. Love, Richard. In July, a few months later, I wrote these words. Dear all, this may seem mad, but I've been thinking about breathing recently, a lot, because I can't. Well, not very well, anyway. I went for a walk with my son. Gentle stroll, not long. Halfway through, I had to sit down. I couldn't go on. My lungs wouldn't let me. A month ago, it was even worse. One set of stairs, I was done for. The lowest point so far. I honestly thought I couldn't go on. If this was life, I didn't want it. No more golf with Simon and Steve. No more walking. No more talking. Well, not much, anyway. And talking is what I do for a living. My prof said, it's a complication. Bless. You see, the tumour was to my right lung what skin is to an orange. It surrounded it and constrained it and constricted it. So it could only work at 10%. Suboptimal, you might say. So when the prof cut the tumour out, his hope was that the lung would expand back. Imagine squeezing a sponge and then letting go. The sponge expands. My lung didn't. Mind you, it was partly my own fault. The first time I left hospital, I had a plastic tube sticking out of my right side. I'm sure they didn't explicitly tell me not to wrap it round a doorknob and pull it out, but I did it anyway. Cue panic, emergency, hospital, drills, another tube, blah, 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 blah. And then the second operation to inflate the lung, which worked, mostly. I can manage a set of stairs, and I will go for a gentle stroll with my son without having to sit down. It'll just take time. As the prof says, my lung has had two operations and five holes drilled into it. The poor thing's a bit traumatized. I know the feeling. So what's the point? Where am I going with all of this? Well, here goes. Since Christmas, I think God's been teaching me a lesson. Dear Richard, please understand that up through the manure, I'm growing roses. Love, God. P.S. Feel free to smell them occasionally. I'm convinced that one of my roses is gratitude, or to give it its proper Latin name, gratitudinus formatus, an appreciation of what I have now before it's taken away forever. The truth is, I'm not grateful enough, not really, not consciously. If I think of the past, it's often with regret. If I think of the present, it's to do, 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 or get, or go, go, go. And if I think of the future, it's to dream of what else I need to be complete, whole, contented, successful, happy. But I'm not grateful enough, or even at all, for the now. I've talked about breathing, but the truth is, for most of my life, I've never thought about it, not really, not consciously. Bit of asthma here and there, but that's all. And breathing is amazing, isn't it? I mean, indulge me just for a minute. Hold your breath now. No, really. I mean, I tell you what, let's do it. Because I said so in the update. We'll try and hold our breaths for 45 seconds. So, when I say ready, steady, go, let's hold our breaths, all of us. And I'll tell you when 45 seconds is over. All right, don't die, obviously. So, if you have to breathe, breathe. One, two, three. Breathe deep. Feels good, doesn't it? And it is good. 8.5 million times a year. Good. Forgive me if you know all this stuff. It's bleeding obvious. I'm just a newbie here. Thanks for reading and hope you have a great summer. No need to reply. At Christmas, 6 months later, I wrote these words. Dear all, to be honest with you, I'm not crazy about winter. It can be dark and cold outside and in. I used to blame it on sad, no sunshine. There's a cure, of course. Barbados. But I'm too much of a skinflint, so I bought a lamp instead. Kids thought I faked it, but to me it was real, the darkness and sometimes the despair. A year ago it got really dark. I'm afraid you've got cancer. Dark. It's incurable. Dark. And it's not just me, I know. Think of the boy on the beach near Bodrum. The tidal wave of refugees, cold, hungry, desperate. Life can be dark, sometimes very, for all of us. Some blame God, of course. I just don't buy it. Frankly, a world without pain would be a world without us. I mean, we cause most of it. Most suffering isn't God's fault. It's ours. It's mine. Every day I'm a hypocrite. The only question is to what degree. I abhor others' failings and forgive my own. I hoard my money. I obsess about success. I own a car while others starve. My choice is my responsibility. I blame God for the bad. I don't thank him for the good, which is sad because there's always good. There's always light, light in the darkness, stars in the sky. I just need to look and search and see more of the stars, of the moments, of the love, the laughter, the joy, the delight. And this year has been full of every day in its own way, full to the brim of light and light and more light, greater than any darkness, a multitude of stars, a galaxy even, not far, far away, close to home, a son's encouragement, another's baking, a daughter's hugs, a doctor's brilliance, a nurse's care, the wonder of that thing I get to call my work with those I get to call my friends, words of solace and sharing and banter and prayer over flat whites and deep reds and cooking. Oh, the miracle of the meal. From breakfast waffles to winter roasts to alfresco dinners. It's been a year of gorging on food and family and friendship, sustaining, surrounding and uplifting me. I've feasted on your love and care, and I'm so very, very grateful. As the movie says, it's a wonderful life, and long may it continue. I just need to look away from the darkness, towards the light, every day, my choice, my responsibility, starting now. In June 2016, about 6 months later, I wrote this. Being sick sucks. That's the truth of it. I'd love to pretend it wasn't, but it is. So, in January, I got infected, an infection of the chest. Now it's June, still it's there, going, not yet gone. 160 days and more of meds and tests and tiredness, of racing pulse and hard to breathe, of hacking cough and bloodied phlegm. Yuck! Enough already. I know, I'll stop in a bit. But the problem with pain is it hijacks the brain. Again and again and again and again. When it's there, you're aware of little else. And that's a shame. Because life is so much more than the bit that hurts. More to get, more to give, more to abhor and adore. Now my pain is going, just about gone. So I can delight in more, in the good and the great and the wonder of life. The breathing, the bathing, the sun on my face. The love in a touch, or a laugh, or a look, or the cream in a chocolate eclair, in the symphony of the senses, the miracle of the moments, life's van ordinaire, which is anything but. But there's a danger that today's delight is tomorrow's ignore, as what's special becomes just the norm. Dear Father, may it not be so. Dear Father, help me change and grow, so the person I see in the mirror is the person I hope to become. A man who delights in every little itsy, bitsy, insy, weedsy droplet of this wonderful life that you give us. Christmas, a year ago. I said, it's nearly there, but not quite yet. This thing they call the scan. Every 6 months, the truth, like it or not. Tumor yes, tumor no. Dead or alive, or so it seems. I've tried to forget all about it, to live in the here and the now. And I have, mostly. Moment to moment, not maybe to maybe, every dawn another chance to live in the way that I want. Simply. Am I giving my time to the people I love? Tick. Am I making the difference I want to make? Tick. Am I taking delight in the day? Tick. Three yeses by bed, and I'm happy, even two will do me just fine. Or so I thought for a while, but not now. Now a still small voice inside me whispers louder and louder each day. Questions that won't go away, such as, is this it? And so what? And what's the point? Well, I'm here, and I'm hale, and I'm hearty. Is there more to my days than just me? Is there more I can do for the back of the queue, for the least, and the last and the lonely, because I'm at the front, or so they tell me. To love those who love me in word and in deed is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing, but is there more? More to my living than simply to live. More to my days than to work, rest, and play. To enjoy, to rise up, to attain. Is there more to the journey than just to be born and then breed and succeed? And then die. I think so. Will my life be aspire, acquire, expire? Will I leave just a will and some wonga? I hope not. In the summer, my son got married, and for some strange reason, he asked me to preach at the wedding, which is strange because I'm not a theologian, I'm not a professional Christian, i.e. a vicar. So I kind of took myself off for an eight-day silent retreat to kind of ask God what he wanted to say. So I'll share some of the words. I'll end with this. The text was, or the Bible reading was, there was a guy called St. Paul who wrote to some early Christians, and his advice to them, well, there were three little words, and their words were, put on love. So it's kind of a riff on that. Paul writes of a love that we need to put on, a love that's not there, that we need to wear. But this isn't it. This love you have now, this life that you've got, is the life that God gives you, like it or not. In your case, I know. Like it a lot. It's like water. Drink it deep, take your fill, yours to enjoy or not, as you will. But there's a problem. This life that we live, this water we drink, is not what we think. It's not pure. It's polluted with pain. It's a life that comes to us, warts and all, and the warts, if we're honest, are mostly ours. They're our flaws. Think of our hearts and the parts that are dark. The harm that we bring, the pain that we cause, again and again and again and again. The things we do, the things we say that make others unhappy, that push them away. The hurts that we never get past or forgive. The grudges we hold, and we hold till we're old, that destroy not the other, but us. We so want to do what is right, but each and every day is a fight. The things we do, the things we regret, the choices we make, we'd much rather forget. And that's just me. But if I'm not perfect and neither are you, then that makes it hard to be perfect as two. Sometimes, as you've seen, marriage ain't easy. It's not always bright. It's not always breezy. Those habits that they had at first that made them seem adorable can now be the very self-same things that make them seem deplorable. And they can feel the same about you sometimes. It can be exhausting. Being two. It can be exhausting being you, because life with its warts and its all can be hard. Bosses to please, bills to pay, children to feed day after day, the pressure to perform at work, the pressure to perform at home. Sometimes you can feel like a mouse on a wheel. Or the job you loved, you no longer do. You say it's okay, but it's just not true. Living up to expectations, making everybody proud, can be exhausting. Or you put on the front to be loved and adored when deep inside you feel like a fraud. Or you want to be happy, but deep down you're not a lot. Or you earn more and more, but you still feel poor. Or you've got a job, you've got a home, but you still feel lost. You still feel alone. Or you think of the world and the news that you hear. As you look to the future, it fills you with fear. You buy more stuff, but it's never enough to fill the hole and to numb the pain that's there, the pain that remains, the pain that is part of just being alive. And then there's old age. And the questions that come, what's it all mean? What have I done with my money, my time, with my life? What was the point of it all? And then, at the end, to depress you some more, it gets worse. As I know to my cost, your body breaks, your mind goes, maybe quick, maybe slow. Or maybe not. Maybe there's more to this life than the one we have now, that's a gift that is flawed and will end somehow. Paul thinks there is. He's written it here. He writes of a love and a life that endures, a love we put on. But what is it? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not what you think. It's not a to-do list of ways to behave, things to give up, rules to enslave. And I can tell you what it is. The love we put on is a person we know. And the name of the person is Christ. Jesus Christ. Let me pause right there. Jesus. When I say the name, what do you see? I mean, really. If it's sandals on feet and beard on face, long flowing locks and a whitish frock, that's Gandalf. It's not Jesus. It's not the Jesus in the Bible. It's not the Jesus that I know. Shall I tell you what he's like? Think of a man who treated women as equals and befriended beggars and bankers and touched lepers when everyone else at the time didn't. Don't think meek. Don't think mild. Do think gentle. Do think wild. Don't think hippie. Do think lippy. Don't think an office. Think bricky or chippy. Don't think a house and a 4x4. Think staying with friends and walking and poor. Don't think status, pious, money. Do think compassion, parties, funny. Don't think weedy, don't think odd. Do think power, do think God. Don't think of flaws, not even one. Those who were close to him said he had none. Don't think ambition, or riches, or fame. Think of a cross, and nails, and pain. Don't think how sad, he was such a good man. Think of evil, and justice, and God's great plan. Don't think Da Vinci and stories you've read, and certainly, certainly don't think dead. Think alive, very much alive. That is the Jesus I know and I love, and that is the Jesus I worship. And when Paul writes of love, Paul writes of him. So if Jesus were here, and he is, by the way, here before you, here today, what's his invitation? Well, I think it's to a life that's less like water and more like wine or champagne. He doesn't insist. He doesn't beg. But I think what he says to you is this. Will you let me love you? Will you come know the love in all that I've done for you? Come know the wonder in all that I have for you. Come be forgiven. Come be set free. Come be the person I made you to be. Come know my love in your heart and your home. Whatever you face, know you're never alone. Come when you're weary. Come when you're stressed. Come, let me give you my perfect rest. Come, let me show you a church that is more than a once a week meeting that's maybe a bore. Come, and I'll give you a reason to live, a purpose to be, a passion to give, wonders to see, and me. Come, and I'll give you me. Have my heart and be moved with compassion. Have my ears and hear my Father's voice. Have my mind and know what is true. Have my hands. Have my feet. Bless those you meet. Have my eyes and see what I've made. The stars at night, an eagle in flight, ice caps and deserts and shade. Come, let me guide you. Come, let me lead you. Come, let me nourish and transform and feed you. Come by my side, let your me become we. Together, we'll change the world. We'll fight injustice. We'll feed the poor. When you give of your money, I'll give you more. Come and delight in the struggle and fight. Put a stop to what's wrong. Stand up for what's right. Come to me. Learn from me. Live for me. Give to me. Give me your talents. Give me your time. And I'll turn your water into wine. Give me your worries. All of your fears. Give me your dreams, your hopes for the years. And see what I do to make all things new. Give me your all. And in return, I promise you this, that whatever happens, whatever may come, and the goods and the bad and the days that are grey, I will never leave you. And all is well and will be well forever and ever and ever.